We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, welcome in. It's another edition of the Aggies All the Way podcast. I am Scott Girard. Kevin White joins us. And remember, this podcast brought to you by Guild Mortgage Company and the Karen Nielsen team, experienced and knowledgeable with all types of loan products, and they can tailor the perfect loan for you. Karen and the team would love to meet you and help you own what matters. NMLS number 3274, equal housing lender. All right, Kevin, we got a lot to talk about. Utah State gets it done, 36-10. They are now 4-2 on the season. But I will say this, they embark onto the final stretch of the season, and it is not going to be an easy one, beginning with Air Force this week. Then BYU at home, at Fresno State, Wyoming at home, Boise State at home, and then wrapping things up against New Mexico. So I guess initial thoughts on the first 6 weeks of the season. The first half is under our belts, and what you expect going forward.
Well, I think that at 4-2, that's kind of where I thought they were going to be at the beginning of the season. I thought they might get a win at Wake Forest, but should have, you know, won that ball game at the end of that game. But, you know, they're kind of where I thought they might be at this point in time. I think I predicted a 9-3 season at the beginning of the season, but right now they're running they're hitting the gauntlet. I mean, this is starting this week. I don't know that anybody thought that Air Force was going to be as good as they're turning out to be. And boy, when you look at them, both offensively and defensively, they are really playing well. They've won, three of their last four. Their only loss in that stretch was to Navy. They lost a little bit earlier to Boise State, at Boise State. But you know what they did on the islands last week, a 56-26 victory over the Rainbow Warriors. You know, they're coming in riding a lot of momentum. When you look at what they did 2 weeks ago against Fresno State, where they gave up only 13 yards in five plays in the second half. Remarkable. They had the ball for almost 24 minutes in the second half. And that win against Fresno State, and kind of ran away from them. They're just playing really well all across the board, and it doesn't matter who's playing. They bring in a second-team quarterback last week in Mike Schmidt, and he runs for 120 yards and throws 5 of 6 for 147 and a touchdown. So, they just keep rolling, and they're really, really well coached as well. So this is going to be a tough game on Saturday night.
You know, you look at, and we'll go deep on Air Force here in a bit, but Air Force coming into this game is at 5-2. Fresno State, who you know, is the defending Mountain West Conference champs, they're 3-3. Wyoming is now at 5-2, and Boise State's at 6-1. So those are your next four Mountain West Conference opponents. Then you throw in BYU, who will be coming off a bye week after beating Boise State. I mean, this is, you know, you call it the gauntlet, and I think that's a really good way to put it. These next five games are not for the faint of heart, and it all begins with Air Force. And, you know, I do the show every day with Hans Olsen. He almost has a small element of PTSD whenever we talk about Air Force, because he was a defensive lineman. He knows what it's like to go up against that Air Force offensive line that just cuts and cuts and cuts and cuts. And he does not like Air Force. He will say some four-letter words when he references playing against Air Force. It is a really difficult team to defend.
They do. Their blocking scheme, when you have the triple option, and it's very different than what it used to be, where they used to get in the wishbone. Now they're running the wings, bring the wing back in motion, run the dive man, and run the pitch action to get the lead back out in front, blocking on the edge. And the quarterback just reads it. And if the tackle pinches down or the defensive end kind of crashes, then they're going to pitch it to the outside or run the quarterback around on the outside. If the tackle and defensive end kind of stays wide, they'll run the fullback inside. The linemen fire out, and they'll get into your knees and into your legs. They're not as big normally as what they're going against in the defensive line, so they have to use combo blocks, and they're using different schemes and to get to the lower extremities of the defensive linemen. And you're right, they have been doing it for so long. But now what they're also doing is they're mixing in a little bit more of the off-tackle plays with the wing back coming in motion and then running him off-tackle. They're doing a lot more play action. They only throw it 7 times a game, and they complete only 4 passes a game, but they're throwing for 133 yards a game. They're leading the nation at 23.5 yards per completion. And they've got 2 guys that are catching balls. That Jarrod Sanders has 20 receptions and is averaging about 24 yards a reception. And then their second guy, Benjamin Waters, 9 catches for 292 yards and averaging 32.5, almost 33 yards a catch. So, you know, they'll burn you on the play action. And if you don't have good eye discipline as a secondary member, you're going to get beat. And so you got to be able to read all of your keys and have that eye discipline to know when to read the pitch, when to go for the dive, when to stay back in coverage. And it is really a difficult offense to defend.
What position on the defense would you least like to be if you were up against Air Force?
No question, strong safety. I remember, actually it was free safety last year. It was Gage Ferguson last year, that in the first half against Air Force at Maverick, I mean, just over and over had to make 20 and 30 and 40 yard runs to get to a pitch man. And then he made the adjustments and were able to kind of short up and use the nickelback and the cornerbacks to enforce, you know, create the force on the run on the outside. And it helped them certainly defensively to bottle up Air Force just a little bit more. But that safety position where you're in such a bind, because if they hand it off to the dive man, you got to come up and help force the run in the interior. If the quarterback runs on the outside and you've got quarterback responsibility, you've got to make a 20-yard run just to get to the quarterback, and so he doesn't cut up inside of you. And once you do get to the quarterback and he pitches it, then you have to keep running to try to get to the pitch man. So for me, it's that safety position that gets put in a bind all the time, because you're going to have responsibilities in the odd front, that four-man front. You'll probably have Tipanalia and Justice Tate on the outside that will have contain, and they'll have quarterback responsibility. You'll have your inside guys with your 2 middle linebackers, Metzenheimer and Woodward, that will have the dive man and then reading to the outside, to the quarterback, to the pitch. You'll have your cornerbacks that will be on the pitch, but they're going to get blocked, and so the safeties have got to come up and help support in the run game. It is just an interesting way to defend an offense. And then, of course, if they run play action, you got to get back in your
yeah.
zone.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's that safety position that's in such a bind with this offense.
You know, and then, you know, you look at the other element to this too, where if you're a defensive back, sometimes it's easy to get lulled to sleep a little bit. But one thing that I've always thought was interesting, and we talked to the previous coaching staff about this as well, because I saw Utah State really get hurt by this, especially about 2 or 3 years ago when they were playing Air Force, and frankly, even New Mexico too, when Bob Davie would run, you know, a very run heavy option oriented offense, is your corners have got to be able to get off blocks. You know, you've got wide receivers out there that are good blockers, and you've got to help out at times in run support, and you've got to have your defensive backs be able to shed blockers, and sometimes blockers that are bigger and stronger than you, and help out in run support.
No doubt. And even that lead wingman will get out in the blocking, and it'll create a 2-on-1 blocking scenario. So they'll do a quick pitch out to the other wing that's coming from the far side in the pitch game. And you get a 2-on-1 with the cornerback. And again, it puts that pressure on the safety. But yeah, DJ Williams and Cam Haney this game are going to have to be really, really strong and reading first and foremost play action, then coming up for run support on that pitch man. And you're right, they're going to have to get off blocks and make some plays. And you know what, though? As I look at this Utah State defense, they've been getting better and better every week. I thought last week's performance against Nevada was lights out for those guys.
Yeah.
And so they're coming in with a lot of confidence, and they've actually prepped for Air Force. And I think Coach Anderson has talked about this. They prepped for them during the summer. They prepped for them, you know, during the bye weeks, both bye weeks. And so you know they'll come in with a good game plan, and the way that they're implementing their defense right now is really impressive, and they're coming off just a terrific performance against Nevada. And they'll have another guy that's going to be making his first career start. He came off the bench, Schmidt, their backup quarterback, will be making his first start, it looks like, at least from what we're hearing this week, unless Hammond is back this week. But it looks like Schmidt may get the start. So his first start, can you make him a little bit uncomfortable? Can you force him into an errant pitch? Can you get a couple of turnovers and get the ball on the turf? Those will be interesting keys for this Aggie defense.
Well, I will say this. I think that, you look at a guy that, last time they played a backup quarterback, I think it was Isaiah Sanders who ran for a bunch of yards. I think he set a single game record. 44 carries, 196 yards, and 3 touchdowns in that game in 2017. So, yeah, backup quarterbacks got to make you a little bit nervous, because that kid had himself a day against Utah State, and that was only the third game he had played all year, was the final game of the regular season, and he ended up having one heck of a performance. But Air Force is tricky, and you're going to go to Colorado Springs. And by the way, if you've never been to the Air Force campus, it's one of the coolest places you could ever visit. It is absolutely awesome. The people are really hospitable. But then you get in that game, and you got the cadets out in the crowd. It's a pretty hostile environment to play, and it's going to be really interesting to see how Utah State handles that. Let's flip gears and talk offense versus defense. Offensively, again, kind of still, it's funny. I was talking to David James earlier today, and DJ was out of town and was unable to watch the game. And he mentioned, 36 points. That had to be a really good offensive performance. And I think if you watch the game, you realize that the offense really wasn't clicking the way it needed to be clicking. And Jordan Love struggled throwing the football. Wide receivers had a bunch of drops out there. It may have been weather related, but for whatever reason, this offense still seems to be stuck in mud a little bit. What do you think needs to happen to get them going?
They had some bright spots, including Gerald Bright.
Yeah, very much so. Yep.
But again, Gerald ran for 126 yards and had the big long 67-yard touchdown run in the fourth quarter. I thought the running game got better as the game went along, and they finished with 240-plus yards rushing in that game. To me, it's really in the throw game where they're really, really struggling, and it's an area that I didn't think that we would see them struggle. And it just has seemed like and by the way, when you're running pace and you have three and outs, it really, puts a magnifying glass on the execution of your offense. You really need to get one or two first downs per possession to make it seem like you're actually moving forward. But they had, I think it was 4 or 5 three and outs on Saturday night, and they go so quick that you're three and out in 30 seconds. And so this makes it seem even worse that you're not really performing. Now, they did get a handful of scoring drives. They did kick a couple of field goals, but they were in great field position most of the night as well. Defense gave them great opportunities, and special teams obviously gave them some great opportunities as well. Jordan Love was 13 of 31 in that game for 165 yards and, one touchdown, one interception. It seemed like he was indecisive, really for the first time that I can remember, very indecisive in the throw game. Had a handful of drops, especially in the first half by a couple of receivers and tight ends, and it just seemed like there was a lack of confidence in the throw game. So I'm anxious to see them get back to work this week to see if they can establish some early success in the passing game and, make some connections, perhaps some quick hitches, some quick slants, some quick game success to get you in second and shorts and get some first downs and get a little bit of continuity. And then that'll open up the running game a little bit more as you go along. I think they'll be okay in the running game, even though Air Force has only given up 100 yards rushing once this season. Maybe twice, I'm sorry. Five of 7 games have held opponents under 100 yards rushing. So they're very, very stout in the run defense game. So really, they're going to stack it. The formula is to try to make you beat them through the air and try to stop the run. And so it's got to be on Jordan Love and that throwing game to really make some connections, especially early, to get some confidence and keep drives alive and get one and two first downs at least per possession to make it feel like you're actually having success.
Kevin White joining us. It's the Aggies All the Way podcast right here on the Aggie Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. One thing I do like, though, and you pointed this out, I think, with Gary in the postgame show, a lot of the games we've watched over the last three or four stretch, throwing the LSU game out of it, the running game hasn't started out particularly well, but by the time the fourth quarter rolls around, you go back to San Diego State, Colorado State, and then certainly this last game against Nevada, in the late third, fourth quarter, as the game goes on, the running game starts to pick up, and they're not abandoning it, too. And I admire the fact that as the game goes on, this running attack seems to get better as the game goes on.
You know, there's a formula for them. When you look at the statistics, they've won 36 out of their last 40 games when they've carried it 40 or more times in a ball game. And I think they ran it 44 times in Saturday night's game. And you're right. If you just keep sticking with it, eventually you're going to break one. And that's what happened Saturday night. They didn't have a ton of success. They were getting 3 and 4 yards at a crack. But then all of a sudden, Joe Bright breaks the 67-yarder. And then they get the football back. And two plays later, Joe Bright breaks a 9-yard run into the end zone. And that was after a 48-yard pass completion to COC Mariner. So, you know, they started to execute a little bit better as the game went along. And perhaps that will give them some momentum rolling into Air Force, that they were able to have a much cleaner, a much better fourth quarter against Nevada. But you're right. If they stick with it long enough, they're going to have the 3 and 4 yards and the 2-yard runs. But if they stick with it long enough, eventually, as they wear the defense down and can keep possession and keep continuity of drives alive, they're going to be able to break some runs off. And, you know, that'll be a key in Saturday night's game, because they're going to need to possess the ball as much as they can to keep it away from Air Force, because Air Force is just going to keep grinding it, and trying to chew up clock and keep the offense off the field. That is the formula for success against this Utah State football team. And I think to a certain degree, because opposition has had that kind of success, perhaps that creates a little bit of sense of over-anxiousness with this offense. And maybe that's what's led to some, at least in the first half, lack of continuity and lack of success. So, again, if they can keep the drives alive, get short game, short passing game completions, and keep first downs going, and maybe create 2 and 3 minute drives instead of 30, 40 second drives.
Yeah.
Those are great if you score, but if you're 3 and out and the defense is right back on the field, again, it has that perception, at least, that you're stuck in mud and you're not really progressing forward.
Utah State averaging 5.8 yards a carry in the fourth quarter running the football. It's a nice little, that's a nice little average. First quarter is actually pretty good. 5.7 yards in the first quarter, 4.3 yards per carry in the second, 3.9 in the third, and then it jumps to 5.8 in the fourth quarter. And that, I think that's an impressive number to look at with Utah State as they get better as the game goes on. Kevin, I will chat with you coming up on Saturday. Pre-game show begins at 7 o'clock. Kickoff about 8:15, maybe around 8:20, depending on when the networks finally give us the green light. But excited for some more Utah State football. I know you're out of town, but safe travels, my friend, and look forward to seeing you in Colorado Springs.
Well, I appreciate it, and it looks like we're going to have a good weather night.
Shocker.
In Colorado Springs.
Absolutely blown away by that.
It looks like 67 or the mid-60s during the day.
So, yeah, but the problem is we don't kick off till 8, so it'll probably be, you know, right. 25, but who knows?
Well, it should be clear, and again, maybe that will bode well for that Aggie offense as well. So I'm looking forward to it, Scotty, and I'll see you over in Colorado Springs, and go Aggies.
Sounds good, my friend. Kevin White, as we bring you the Aggies All the Way podcast right here on the Aggie Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.